Book of Psalms, the 70th Psalm. Sometimes the short psalms are the best. I'm just going to read this. It's only five verses. Psalm 70, a Psalm of David, to bring to remembrance. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. I think that often we think that a psalm is a blurting out to God of whatever is on the mind of the psalmist. And let me just say to the contrary, if that's not been said to the contrary prior, that the psalms in general will lend themselves to close analysis. There is a real structure in the psalms in general, and it can be discovered, and there's a lot of profit in that discovery. Is that to say that we ought to get our Sherlock Holmes magnifying glass out? Well, to a certain extent, there's spiritual profit in learning, finding out what is in that theme. So often, there will be a theme stated at the beginning, and then there will be repetition of that theme on the way through. In this case, it's stated at the beginning and then essentially stated at the end. So you notice the verse 1, verse 5, a phrase repeated, make haste. So what is going on here is that David is feeling vulnerable. And the vulnerability that he feels pushes him to prayer. Not just prayer, but urgent prayer. And I think it is my experience, and hopefully yours, that is a valuable place to be. We actually have a great need for this thing that I guess I'm going to call urgent prayer. We have an urgent need of urgent prayer. And this psalm helps us to see that. Now, if one were to take a survey of the psalms, we would find that this kind of psalm, it's not in common at all. David, who was only on the run for a few years and then spent the rest of his life as king, wrote many, many, many psalms of this sort. Why? Because the believer has enemies. So if the theme is that there is urgent prayer, and my theme and takeaway from that is that we have an urgent need for urgent prayer, And then we, if we go further and look at the psalm, David is saying that he is coming with great urgency to God because, as he says, enemies seek my life. I'm not coming to God because I'm a little depressed this morning. No, depression is a real thing, and many of us face that. But, you know, I wake up and I'm, you know, I need to shake myself to get on with the day. He says, enemies seek my life. There are mortal enemies. There are those who would take my life away. This is the circumstances of this psalm. And I think the reason why it's important for us to stand back and say we have urgent need for urgent prayer is because that which David is now speaking of is a real thing for us, and we only sometimes see it. Enemies seek my life, David says. Enemies do seek our lives, and God allows us sometimes to see that. God allows us sometimes to see that. Satan seeks my life. There is, he is absolutely attempting to destroy your and my Christian profession. There is an undermining of everything that is real about our Christianity that he seeks by subtle ways and by large ways to do away with. My own sins will take me to hell. Any one of my sins will take me to hell if unchecked. So enemies seek my life, and God at times allows me to see the nature of the circumstances, the mortal enemies, the mortal combat that we're in. And my circumstances often are such that they would drag me down. They would drag me away from Christ. They would drag me into such a place that either into despair or into pride, such that I no longer have a care for the things of the Lord. So we have an urgent need for urgent prayer because, as we see here, enemies seek my life. But the value, as we see from verse 5 especially, is that it is from this place where I see the with reality the place that I'm in. You know, so often the place that I'm in, the enemies that I have are merely a fog to me. The historians speak about the fog of war. You know, there are these large armies engaging one another. But even certainly the soldiers and often the generals don't know all of what's going on. They have a general plan and they're kind of doing. There's a fog and people are dying, but there's a fog that is covering the battlefield. And it's not a physical fog. It's just ignorance. We don't see really the stakes. We don't see what's going on. But at times, and this is what this psalm pulls the curtain on, at times we see, and from this place there is urgent prayer. From here there is urgent prayer. Notice the first phrase in verse 5. This is the blessed place of need. David says, but I am poor and needy. Well, David may very well be in a palace. David may be the head of armies. David may be the king of a proud people, so to speak. But this curtain having been pulled aside, he sees at this moment that he's poor and needy. That he, in and of himself, has literally no ability against his enemies. Isn't that what he's saying? He's saying, I may be rich. This world's things. But actually, I'm poor. I may be powerful as a king, but I don't have wherewithal against this. Do you hear that? I am poor and needy. This is the reality that from which urgent prayer comes. This is the blessed place. I got nothing going here. I cannot face these foes. I need your real intervention, or I will just slip away here. I need, you hear that? Make haste to help me. It's like a soldier on the battlefield whose buddy is over there and he's fighting somebody who's just way too strong for him, and he's crying out for his friend over there. Come and help me. I need your real intervention. And such is the urgency, such is the great difficulty. This one who's involved in hand-to-hand combat, that he's fighting and he's looking and he's screaming, I need your help now. And that's the nature of this prayer. So from this, I want to call it this blessed place. For the believer, it's exactly the same place as an unbeliever gets to. That God is going to save. I got nothing here, but you are the God who saves sinners. The believer is in the most blessed place when he has been brought back to that place. And that's where we really are. Who do we have going for? What do we have in ourselves? We got nothing. We've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing in ourselves. And we are at points brought exactly back to that place. That is, in a certain sense, the most blessed place. help me. And the blessing of this kind of prayer for the believer is that there is from this place a recognition that that this is the place to be, that the place of utter helplessness before an almighty God is my place. Or you could sum it up this way, that for the believer, this kind of urgent prayer finds God. What have I got? Whom have I in heaven and earth besides you? My flesh and my heart fail. You are the strength of my heart. So urgent prayer, this urgent prayer, finds God. And in this place where it's clear that there is no help but God, it is very clear that God is the almighty help that we have needed. And I spoke of the fog of war because all in the fog of war, all of our difficulties are just before us at all times. But in this place of urgency, God's sovereignty becomes very apparent. When it's clear that I have nothing, it's very clear that in this place, God's sovereignty is everything. And there is a melting away of the intervening circumstances. It's kind of a hymn for penitence, but it's why I picked this hymn 411. Lennar says, "Leaning on Thee, my God, guided along the road, nothing between." From this place of I'm no place, I must have your intervention. There comes that intervention, and it's like he's right there. Maybe in the dark, but he's right there. So urgent prayer of that sort finds God. And intervening circumstances melt away. So we have an urgent need for urgent prayer. And God uses that to show himself to us.